being a leader of leaders means that we have to challenge our pastors, challenge our church leaders to focus on something bigger than our individual agendas and think collectively about what we can do to reach a city with the gospel of Christ.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Gentlemen, no matter where you are today, I think this podcast is going to be a blessing. We are talking about being a leader of leaders, and my guest today is Dr. Tom Billings. Before retiring, he was the executive director of Union Baptist Association in Houston for almost 20 years. Tom, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks, Rick. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, Tom, I've been looking forward to getting together with you to do this podcast, not just because this is great material, but I've had a deep respect for you for so many years. And so, again, just thanks. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. And that respect is mutual, I assure you.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, look, before we get into the questions about leadership and being a leader of leaders, I want to ask you, tell us about your family and your ministry experience that brought you to the point of being an AMS for Houston.
I think from the time I was about 16 on, I sensed the Lord's call to ministry. And initially, that took the role of being a pastor. And did that for a number of years, pastoring large as well as medium and small churches. And then there was a transition point back in the 80s when it seemed that God was leading us in a little bit different direction. I sensed a very clear call to the Houston area and was aligned with Union Baptist Association. Started with them as the director of their Center for Counseling and then became the associate executive director for the association. Lived in that role for about 5 years and then became the executive director back around 1999 and served in that role until I retired.
Yeah, wonderful. What I admire about that is the tenure. Tenure buys respect. It buys trust. And I'm sure we're going to touch on some of that today as we talk about being a leader of leaders, but you're to be commended. It seems like in ministry, people typically move from spot to spot to spot when their leadership cap has been reached. I just want to acknowledge that tenure does so much to buying credibility for a leader.
I certainly think that made a big difference in my role there in Houston, because over a long period of time, you live through a number of crises and different situations to earn or lose the right to lead. And I think in my case, tenure contributed positively to my ability to lead.
So, Tom, you were the author of the Leader of Leaders portion of the current book that SBCAL has put together and released. What do you mean when you say being a leader of leaders?
Well, that actually was a reframing of my understanding of the role of the associational mission strategist. When I started in the pastorate, the director of missions, the associational missionary, as he was sometimes called, really functioned as a pastor of pastors. And that was, I think, a pretty commonly shared understanding of the role.
Yeah.
But as I moved into the role, there was a shift in thinking. And the idea was that we were consultants that served churches. And the way of framing that was church first, that the role of the association was to work with the church, help them develop their vision, help them improve their skills, help them be a church better. And in a way, that was kind of consistent with the whole understanding of association. The function of the association was to help Baptist churches be better Baptist churches. So the consulting role was an important role. But over time, I realized even that wasn't enough. I began to shift in my thinking. And kind of that next iteration, when I moved into the role as the executive director for Union Baptist Association, we were in partnership with the Chinese Baptist Convention in Taiwan. I was back and forth a lot to Taipei, working with our missionaries there. And I realized that I needed to change the way I thought, that Houston was becoming not just a major urban center, but was becoming one of the most ethnically and culturally diverse diverse metropolitan regions in the country. And more people were coming in, and they were coming in with diverse backgrounds, coming in from around the world. And I realized I needed to learn how to think like a missionary in order to reach these people and help our churches reach these people. And that guided a lot of what I did for many, many years. And I think helped initiate the whole movement of thinking of the role of the director of missions as an associational mission strategist. But toward the very end of my work, I moved to a different level of thinking. And for me, it was kind of like a frame around a picture. It became a new frame for the way I thought about my role. And that was the role of the leader of leaders, that we aren't just responsible for helping churches be better churches. We're not just responsible for helping churches do better jobs. We are a part of a large mission force. In Houston, we had about 600 churches that were affiliated in one way or another with Union Baptist Association. And I began to see that as a vast army of resources. And we were called to work together to reach our city with the gospel of Christ. But that meant a shift in my way of thinking. It wasn't just about helping First Baptist or Second Baptist or Calvary Baptist or Grace Baptist do their work better. It was about bringing First and Second and Calvary and Lazy Brook and all these churches together to think collectively about what we can do together to reach our city for Christ. Oh, and probably the best current example is what's happening in our country with the coronavirus. I just heard Governor Cuomo talking about what needs to be done in the city of New York and in the state of New York to address this growing coronavirus. And he said, you know, we've got two systems. We've got a private hospital system and a public hospital system. We've got to stop thinking that way. We've got to think of ourselves as one hospital system with shared resources, bringing everything together to fight this invisible enemy. Well, if we take that same kind of mentality, we have a common enemy, only our enemy is not our coronavirus, it's sin. And we have a common mission, and that is to reach this world with the gospel of Christ. And my sense is we have been thinking too individualistically and not collectively enough. And being a leader of leaders means that we have to challenge our pastors, challenge our church leaders to focus on something bigger than our individual agendas and think collectively about what we can do to reach a city with the gospel of Christ. Yeah. The real challenge for being a leader of leaders is I was executive director for UBA, and we had churches that ran 50 and 60 and 70, but we also had churches that ran 20,000. We have churches that had weekly budgets that were larger than my annual budget. And to think of just leading these folks as, well, this is just a pastor. No, this is a corporate exec. Right. And I'm working with folks like this. And even though the average size of our church across the convention is, I think, around 70, we've got a lot of churches running 150, 250, 500, 1,000.
Right.
Well, these are high capacity leaders. And we have to figure out how we can lead high capacity leaders to set aside their own egos and agendas and think collectively about reaching a city, a state, a country with the gospel of Christ. And that's what I mean by being a leader of leaders. I have to see myself as leading leaders to focus collectively on a larger task.
Man, that's really good. I think a lot of leaders are intimidated by leaders that they're meant to lead and that they may see their capacity or their leadership as far greater than their own. And stepping into that role is a huge step of maturity and understanding that it's not always about capacity. It's not always about ability. It's about the moment.
Let me bounce off of that just a little bit. I had my own moments when I was intimidated by that. I'll never forget first moving into the role as the executive director of UBA. And it was around Christmas time. And we had already scheduled and were holding a Christmas banquet for pastors at Second Baptist Church. Well, if you know Ed Young, you know Second Baptist Church. It's one of the largest churches in not just our city, but our country.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the hallway at Second Baptist on my way to the pastor's office just to say hello to him and introduce myself to him. And he comes out of his office, comes walking down the hall toward me, reaches out, grabs my hand, pulls me toward him. And as I start to introduce myself, you know, hi, I'm Tom Billings. I'm the new executive director for Union Baptist Association. He grabbed me, pulled me toward him and said, I know who you are. You're our new leader.
Yeah, that's well, so good.
That was an intimidating moment for Ed Young to say to me, you're our new leader.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it took me probably that 20-year time frame to really live into that role of being a leader of leaders in Union Association. And even then, it was something that I moved toward very reluctantly because I doubted my own ability to lead and doubted my ability to lead guys like this. But I discovered over time that I could do it. And not only could I do it, but a lot of these high capacity leaders are willing to be led. And that was a new discovery for me.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, so for those of you that are listening, obviously, Tom and I have sat down to do this podcast during the coronavirus crisis. We're right in the middle of it at this moment. So there is no greater application of being a leader of leaders than right now. Our AMSs across America are doing just a fabulous job at leading their pastors. I've said several times to the guys, thank you for leading those who lead our people. And it's just a unique time in the time of the church right now. All right. So moving on, we talk about being leader of leaders. We've well established the need for us as AMSs to be leader of leaders. But how does that differ from leading others? For example, from being the pastor of a church and leading a congregation?
Well, leadership in the role of the pastor, in my mind and experience, was so much easier than being an AMS. Yeah. For example, pastors have positional authority. You are expected to lead. To use the words of Teddy Roosevelt, pastors have a bully pulpit. I mean, we stand before our people every Sunday, not just once, but often multiple times, and not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. We have multiple ways of communicating with people. We are always before our people. Sometimes that gets to be a bit overwhelming and intimidating, but we're always there and they expect us to lead. In the role of AMS, we don't have that bully pulpit. We are not always before our people. Pastors don't gather every Sunday or every Saturday or Friday or Wednesday. They don't come together every week to hear what we have to say.
That's right.
And they are not necessarily turning to us for leadership. They see themselves as leaders and they expect that they have a responsibility to lead.
What a big challenge.
It is. Now, there are some judicatory leaders who have positional authority. We don't. They don't call me bishop. They don't call me cardinal. They are not necessarily going to follow. Leadership has to be earned. I have to earn the right. I have to earn the responsibility to provide leadership to pastors. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
That's great.
Have to earn that right.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. It's not just about earning that right. It's about keeping it and building trust.
Sure.
And once you have earned it or you are in that time of grace where they're extending their trust to you as the leader, you have to be a good leader. I mean, let's talk about guidelines and some of the things. What are some guidelines that you think are important for being a leader of leaders?
Well, I think you just mentioned the most important one, and that is we have to build trust. And I think the way that we build trust is through a combination, as Stephen Covey said often, that trust is about character and competence.
Yeah.
We have to have the right character and we have to be competent. We have to be able to lead. If we can't do the job, people aren't going to follow us. But as we have been reminded many times, a lot of times our skill outstrips our character. We are better at what we do than we are at being who we are.
Oh, wow.
And whenever your skill outdistances or outstrips your character is going to be the thing that causes you to fall and to fail. And I think building trust is both about character and competence.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, I've listened to you for many, many years. When you speak, I try to listen because I've grown in respect and trust of you over the years. And I've heard you say before that an effective leader can't lead others unless they're leading themselves. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think this really addresses the area of competence. If I can't lead myself, why should anyone expect me to be able to lead them effectively? And this is in the area of both competence and character. First, I need to be self-aware. I need to know who I am, where I'm strong, where I'm not. Unfortunately, self-deception is so much easier than self-awareness.
So true.
Look at Peter. Peter told Jesus before he was crucified, listen, even if everybody else falls away, everybody else betrays you, I'm not going to do it. He was deceiving himself. Peter thought he knew himself. The truth was Jesus knew Peter much better than Peter knew himself.
Yeah.
He said, you are going to deny me. You're going to do it multiple times. And I think that self-awareness that's so critical for leaders is something that we've got to work on.
I just sat with Brian Nall in Pensacola to talk about EQ and emotional intelligence. And that whole self-awareness mm-hmm. issue with leadership is so important. If we are not able to lead ourselves, to know how we're gauged by those that we lead, that we're in the danger zone there.
Absolutely. And I think in part that's because we lead out of who we are, not just what we know. And I don't think that's ever more evident than when we're under stress, when we're under a lot of duress, when the stakes are high and the pressure is on. We're going to default to our base self. And if that base self is a person who has trouble with authority, doesn't handle conflict, defaults to telling instead of listening, when the pressure is on, that's when we really lead out of who we are.
I'm sorry to step on you there, Tom, but haven't we seen that in the last couple of years among our more visual pastors out there? We've seen so many lose their ministry because of one moment or a consistent pattern of losing their temper or feeling out of control.
Oh, sure. And one of the mantras I've kind of lived by is we're all broken, just in different places.
I
think we must understand what our brokenness is and address that. That's what self-leadership is about.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I appreciate that, Tom. That's such a great word for today. And listen, I've heard you talk many times about Jesus and the way he exercised power. Can you tell us about that and what it means for us as we work with leaders?
Sure. I don't know of anyone who had more power than Jesus did. I mean, he could make the blind see, the lame walk. He could raise the dead. He had power that we could only dream about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you look at the way Jesus dealt with people, it wasn't about command and control. It was more about equip, enable, and empower.
Yeah.
He tried to identify who a person was and bring the best out of them. He did that with Peter. He said, you're Peter, you're a little pebble, you know, but I'm going to make you a rock.
That's right.
I'm going to turn you into a rock, and we're going to build this church around you and people like you. In my mind, we often think of leadership as about exercising power, but I don't think there is any greater exercise of power than bringing out the best in another person, about empowering them. Ken Blanchard reframed empowerment. I always thought about empowerment was I have the power and I give it to you. I give you permission to use my power. And he said, no, empowerment is about identifying the gifts, talents, abilities, and motivation that are already intrinsic in another person and creating an environment in which they are able to become their best selves.
Yeah, that's so good. That's golden.
And I think that's what our role as leader is. We are dealing with some high capacity people. We're dealing with people that are highly motivated, that are independently minded, that are assertive. They're D's, great big D's on the DISC profile sometimes. And we don't need to tell them what to do so much as we need to bring them together, allow them to bring out the best that is within them in order to be able to contribute and do what needs to be done.
That's great. Hey, Tom, I want to hit you with a totally unscripted question, but you should be able to answer this easily. I know you're a voracious reader. Our AMS is listening today. There's several of those guys that are saying, hey, I've been leading people, and maybe they're realizing that, and they really need to step up to lead leaders. They want to make that shift that we talked about earlier. What are three great books that that guy could read to really transform his leadership to the next level?
I'll be honest. I can't think of any one book that really addresses the topic of being a leader of leaders. I think there are a lot of books that deal with the idea of leadership that would be very effective. In my own life, books by Stephen Covey have been significantly influential. Books by Ken Blanchard. He writes about so many different aspects of leadership, like his book, Leading at a Higher Level, which is kind of a compilation of a lot of his thoughts. Covey, Seven Habits, and his son's book, The Speed of Trust, I think was one that they would find very, very helpful. Goleman's books on emotional intelligence, I think are helpful. Great resources out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You've probably heard some of the podcasts at this point, so you know what my final question is going to be here. But I think it's an important one because a lot of times we get stuck in the status quo. We get stuck in our own abilities and we don't push to increase our skill set at all. And you know, the healthy leader has an openness to learn by questioning and by growing. And so let me ask you this question. What have you changed your mind on lately?
I think one of the big things is exactly what we're talking about right now. It is developing the idea that I am not just, quote, an associational mission strategist, but I am a leader in this role. And I think that's just a different way of thinking and framing what we do. And I think leaning into that is something that we really need to do. That's what I've been doing of late when I was asked to write the chapter on being a leader of leaders. It was something that I had already begun addressing, had begun speaking about, but it forced me to think about it much more deeply than I had before. So a lot of my thinking has been about that. And then honestly, I retired a couple of years ago, and I've been trying to cultivate different aspects. One of the things that I wanted to do was develop artistic ability, because a big part, I think, of leadership is the changing role of the leader and being able to think like an artist. So photography, drawing, these are things that I've been spending a lot of time with. And what's really interesting is I'm learning to see things differently. As an artist, you have to identify patterns and relationships. You have to break things down to their constituent components. It was kind of a new thought for me. And I know you've got an art background, so you understand this. But if you can draw a rectangle and a sphere and a triangle, you have the drawing shapes of most everything around you. You can just take two or three things like that and combine them, and you can create most shapes. So I think one of the things is learning to look at things more simply, trying to break the complex down into its simplest constituent components. Because what I've learned in drawing, for example, is if I can break complex things down into simple shape and then begin to refine them, then I can draw, which was a real surprise to me. But I think that's true in problem solving, too. We look at extremely complex problems, and attacking the coronavirus is one of those. But the more we can break it down to its simplest constituent components, like social distancing, and saying, you know, it's such a simple thing, but if we can do that simple thing, if we can wash our hands, if we can do the simple things, then we can make significant progress in beating this enemy. So I think learning to look at complex things and break them down into their simplest components is something that I'm at least looking at now and trying to think differently about.
Man, what an amazing way to end the podcast today. Thinking about that from the leadership perspective, breaking down things to its constituent elements at very simple base, and then having the freedom at that point, or the canvas, if you will, to rebuild from there into something that's truly God-honoring. I love that. For the audience, our guest today was Dr. Tom Billings, the Emeritus Executive Director of Union Baptist Association in Houston. Tom, thanks again for coming in and sitting down with me today to record this podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, Rick, anything I can do to help you, you know, I'm anxious to do that. And I love what God calls us to do in the role of the AMS. I think it's a high leverage position. I think it's probably been perhaps underutilized or undervalued in SBC life. I think it's one of the most significant and influential roles in the convention. And anything we can do to help our guys do their work and do it better, I'm all in.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Rick. God bless.
God bless.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.